Foreclosures rise again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Banks took back 93,000 American homes in July. That is the eighth straight month of more U.S. home foreclosures. And yet, there are signs the crisis may begin to ease in the months ahead. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich reports.
The website RealtyTrack says foreclosures rose 9% from June to July. Most of those were in the usual suspects, California, Florida, Michigan, Nevada. But RealtyTrack's Rick Sharga says there are new emerging hotspots.
Places like Idaho and Utah and Illinois, which weren't at the forefront of the foreclosure wave early on, but are now that the unemployment rates are high in those states.
But while actual foreclosures were up, the number of households receiving default notices continued to fall. That could mean fewer foreclosures down the road. Sharga says as the crisis drags on, banks are more willing to make deals, negotiating short sales or helping customers lower payments.
Some of the major banks are getting a little bit more aggressive with their own loan modification programs and actually starting to incorporate some principal balance reductions, which is one of the ways to make these programs a little bit more successful.
Right now, banks own about 900,000 U.S. homes, but two-thirds of those aren't back on the market because the banks don't think they'll sell. I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
The housing slump, of course, not only hurts people's net worth, it hurts their confidence. And yesterday, stock investors also showed a drop in confidence. The Dow Industrials had their worst daily fall in more than a month. So does confidence need to come before an economic recovery, or is it the other way around? Here's Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith.
Businesses aren't hiring, consumers aren't buying, and investors are playing it safe. Is the economy suffering from a massive case of low self-esteem?
One can argue, you know, technically that the recession is over. It doesn't feel that way right now to consumers.
Lynn Franco is an economist at the Conference Board. It's been studying consumer confidence since the 60s. She says the board's confidence index is about half of what it is when the economy's growing.
If consumers remain this pessimistic, I think the likelihood for consumer spending bouncing back is less likely.
I don't put a great deal of confidence in consumer confidence.
That's investment economist Gary Schilling. He says confidence is crucial for the economy, but measuring it is tricky.
It's really more of an art than a science.
Schilling points out that consumer confidence tends to rise a month after consumer spending does. Apparently, the clothes do make the man, or at least the market. Schilling and economist Lynn Franco do agree on one thing, though. Jobs are the key to consumer confidence and economic recovery. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And let's check this morning's indicator of confidence. Well, stock markets in Asia continued the slide earlier today, falling 1% or so, but the stocks have stabilized in Europe. European shares are now very slightly higher. The world's largest brewer, Belgium's Anheuser-Busch InBev, says profits jumped in the last 3 months. The maker of Budweiser and Beck's said sales were helped by good weather and by the World Cup. Yesterday, the damage report for the Dow Industrials was 265 points to the downside. That's a fall of 2.5%. The close was 10,378.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0.
The letters BP have become synonymous with Gulf oil spill. But remember when the company's slogan showed those letters to be Beyond Petroleum? Well, even in the heart of oil country, there are some unlikely folks who are thinking beyond petroleum. Yesterday, we heard from a Texas oil man who's gone green. Today, we meet a Louisiana native who set his state up with the strongest solar tax rebates in the country. Here's Marketplace's Chrissy Clark.
This is the story of how Nick Gautreaux went from being a newly elected state senator for an oil-loving district in southern Louisiana to this.
They call me the godfather of solar.
It's a mantle he's not entirely comfortable with.
Because it's associated with, and I'll be honest, they call them tree huggers. When you talk about green, they think about a tree hugger.
And Gautreaux says in Cajun country, it's not trees, but oil rigs that people embrace, and the jobs that come with them. No tree hugging was involved in the making of The Godfather of Solar. What was involved was a phone call that Gautreau got soon after he was elected. The guy on the other line was the son of his first grade teacher.
Miss Libin Broussard, her son called me up and he says, look, I'm building a subdivision. Does the state have any type of tax incentives that would help me put solar hot water heaters on these homes? And I said, no, we don't have anything.
And then Gautreau thought, maybe they should. He knew nothing about solar energy, but he had friends who'd served in Iraq, and he figured anything to help reduce our dependence on foreign oil was a good thing.
You know what? Louisiana is the leader in the oil and gas industry. Why can't we be the leader in alternative energy?
So he wrote a bill, the strongest in the nation, a state tax rebate for homeowners that cut the cost of installing solar panels in half. But when it started moving through the state legislature, he got more phone calls, this time from people he'd never met in the national environmental movement. They wanted to help lobby for the bill.
I put all these people in my iPhone as solar. I just type in solar and they all pop up. And they were saying, man, you just don't know what you got there. We're going to come testify in favor of it. I said, guys, just sit in the background because I'm afraid when there's too many people testifying and all of a sudden it draws attention.
And so quietly, in 2007, Gautreau got the bill passed. Since then, about 100 solar businesses have cropped up in Louisiana, bringing a whole new set of jobs to the economy. Just don't call them green.
Just talk about good paying jobs. Let's stop the green jobs because, listen, in the oil and gas industry, you hear good paying jobs. Why do jobs need a color?
I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
Marketplace reporter Adrian Hill has created a BP index with interesting numbers and facts about the spill and cleanup effort. Check out the BP index at marketplace.org. And finally, happy birthday, Sam I Am. Dr. Seuss's Green Eggs and Ham was published 50 years ago today. It's now the fourth best-selling English-language children's book of all time, according to Publishers Weekly, right behind a book called Tootle, which honestly I'd never heard of, The Tale of Peter Rabbit, which my daughter loves, and number one, The Pokey Little Puppy, which I also had never heard of. Here to pay tribute to Green Eggs and Ham, the Reverend Jesse Jackson on Saturday Night Live on the occasion of Dr. Seuss's death in 1991.
I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like Green Eggs and Ham.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.